You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
It's nice to see finally some movies coming out about those sort of like the rise and fall of an American criminal and make clear who the real criminals are.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Like, just can't get behind anybody in this movie. Yeah. But
Yeah. It's the criminals we hear about are more often than not the criminals that were just caught in the middle between the actual criminals.
Yeah.
And this is the story of one of those guys played by the always charming, well, maybe not The Mummy, but generally charming Tom Cruise, who teaming up once again with director Doug Liman, who, of course, did a great job in the criminally underseen film Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, no. I enjoyed that film.
I know.
Yeah.
Everybody likes
Everyone
it. Everyone
sees it, liked it.
But nobody saw it.
I know. I saw it in a plane.
Yeah.
Did you?
I was like, I'm only watching this. I'm not looking outside.
Well, you hear the title and you're like, what, isn't that a soap opera?
Yeah, I thought it was some stupid romance.
I think that was a soap opera back in the day, actually.
There was Edge of Night and then there's Something of Tomorrow. It was terrible.
In Search of Tomorrow.
I don't want to go into the whole bitching about that because I've done that 1,000 times about like how, wow, they mishandled that, which is a shame.
Tagline. But here,
based on a true story, Cruise is playing Barry Seal, who is a sort of adrenaline junkie, TWA pilot. I mean, when we first meet him, it's just on a normal flight, and just to fuck with his co-pilot, who's asleep, he puts the plane into a dive for a second. And he's like, oh, sorry, a little turbulence, folks. He's like, literally, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. His personality up right there.
And he's married to, like, an incredibly gorgeous blonde lady.
I gotta say, she
played by Sarah Wright.
She looks just like Nicole Eggert from Charles in Charge. Does anybody remember that 80s sitcom with Scott Baio?
No. We've all
tried to forget it.
And I was like, oh my God, they pulled you right from the 80s, literally. Yeah,
I've definitely seen her in other stuff. She was in like The House Bunny and 21 and Over, a couple other things. But anyway, so they're together, they have kids, and their life is, you know, it's fine.
It is. It's fine, it's comfortable.
Yeah, but when...
And they're doing their day-to-day life.
Yeah. He's like obviously not totally satisfied with being a pilot, as we find out when Domhnall Gleeson shows up as a CIA agent. It's like, look, we know you're smuggling in cigars from presumably flights to Cuba or wherever. We know you're smuggling cigars. We don't give a fuck.
Completely without a conscience. I think this is the first time I've seen Domhnall Gleeson like this.
Yeah. It's a good role.
And,
you know, yeah.
They're like, he's like, because you're that type of person, we approve, and we want you to come to work for the CIA.
Right.
We're going to give you a really nice two-engine plane, and we're going to have you fly down to South America and basically deliver stuff for us.
Yeah.
to the Contras.
Yeah, Iran.
Well, at first they're like, we just need you to take pictures of the communists, and then it starts upgrading. And along the way, always an opportunist, Barry Seal, who, as they make a point, is like basically right off the bat when they got him with their hooks into him, the CIA is like, we're not going to give you more money.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is ridiculous. This is so fucking dangerous. So when the Medellin clan goes, hey, we've been noticing you've been flying down here a lot, and we have a proposal for you. Would you like to fly cocaine back to America?
Yeah.
Of course, he's like, for that kind of money? Yes.
Yeah.
Now, that is literally just the tip of the iceberg and how deep Barry Seal gets himself in.
It gets bad.
It's a crime rise and fall story, like Goodfellas or what have you, like any number of movies. Yeah, I mean, it's a genre in and of itself. There was that one recently with, what's his name? The one with the teeth from Wolf of Wall Street. Short, fat guy.
War Dogs.
Yeah.
I really
wanted
to see that.
This is a genre in and of itself. And a lot of the times most of the time these films are in fact based, albeit loosely, on real stories. Now, I have not read the actual book that this particular guy's story is based on.
Yeah,
but I was very familiar with how this thing ended up evolving, with the government becoming deeply embroiled in illegally smuggling weapons to rebels. Later, of course, on going on to the Iran-Contra affair.
Yeah,
I mean, this thing, it's hard to not be angry. I know Laura comes out like, oh, I'm so pissed.
I know. I'm unsettled and depressed and angry at this whole thing.
I thought you said you were a little bit like mixed.
I am mixed because I found some parts of it really entertaining.
Okay.
I enjoyed the people in it because, of course, all these people are going to be charming because how else are they going to do business? They have to be charming and legal all at the same time without a conscience, you know?
And this movie does need humor to be palatable.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, yeah, but so do all the movies like this. You notice they all do that. Only the ones that – there's a few I've seen that were trying to be straight drama and they suck. But, like, these ones that they do, because they always have the main character is kind of the narrator. He's our Ray Liotta here, basically.
Yeah,
that's
true, yeah.
He's the guy who never thought he would find himself in this scenario, but what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, who has no impulse control and
none.
Adrenaline Jeez. Junkie. And
figure
really
shit out really
is so
easily.
Become so wealthy that they literally have nowhere else to put bags of money.
That's the problem. It becomes a huge
the
burden.
The sheer decadence of, like, what they became was just... Just like it made me almost kind of sick, really. Like it was just like it was too overwhelming for me to stomach.
And then he couldn't even do anything about it, but then he couldn't stop. Wouldn't stop.
Which is why
he gets stuck in the middle of it.
Exactly.
Like,
that's why this movie was so appropriately named American Made. I mean, it's a very appropriate name because it really is about like what America's problem is.
And the governmental corruption that we're facing right now, which is, you know, a forefront of everyone's tongue all
but
the time.
But it's been going on for so long.
It's
just now really visible.
Yeah.
It's also very 80s, isn't it? In terms of like, you know, the more, the consumption and, you know, the way he built up the town and, you know.
Yeah, because they move him to basically a middle of nowhere dying town in Arkansas. That within a year or two has like 18 banks in it because he keeps having to get more banks to put his money in.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's driving
so
like sports cars around. Yeah, great to see your FBI guy has heard some of this unusual amount of cash in this tiny town shows up and he's just looking around like, what?
That was
the
a really
fuck?
Nice scene. I have to admit. I like that.
But that's the thing is like for me, like growing up as a young punk rocker, I had totally feel like I had processed most of my anger knowing about all this corrupt, evil shit the CIA was doing. What a bunch of double dealing. I mean, who the fuck in their right mind would ever make a deal with the CIA? Mm. I mean, they're just so famous for stabbing you in the back the moment they get a chance. Like, well, who would do that? Well, Barry Seal.
Right. Well, they got his number.
And you know, I mean, the thing is,
exactly.
He's like, Barry Seal himself, like I said, he's a Ray Liotta type here. He's not a good guy. He's just a guy. He's just, he's almost too stupid to realize what he's gotten himself into.
Yeah, he's clever.
Yeah, he's clever. He's not wise.
Well, I call him very lucky.
Yeah.
Very lucky. Up until the end. But
the movie manages to make the humor work. It sails along on the source of a large part of it being Tom Cruise's enormous amount of charm, which he has put into like fifth gear here.
Sure. He tried really hard, I think, not to be his Mission Impossible character because that's the only character I really see him as now.
There was almost, it felt like a shout out where he flies over real close to the ground over someone and shocks him.
He's in the new one, isn't he? Yeah, he's come back for the new one.
Yes, he is coming back for Top Gun 2.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's going to happen.
What about Val?
I doubt it. Can you imagine anybody trying to put Val into a cockpit of a plane now? You'd have
to get a giant
shoehorn.
He would say no.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get the tower. Bring him a copy.
There's other interesting people in here as well. Jesse Plemons, who we like to call Meth Damon, has a role that should have been bigger because he's kind of funny as the local town sheriff who's kind of like, it's all good.
It's fine. Yeah. They're good people, he says.
And Caleb Landry Jones, who I've always found gross. I mean, he's not a bad actor. He just always...
He's like ultra character actor, and he does his thing.
He plays like schlubs or rednecks or sleazy drug addicts, and here he is like, the moment you see him, you like gag in your throat.
Yeah, he really
do. He plays the brother who shows up once they're all successful of Barry Seal's wife, who shows up to, of course, complicate things and start in motion the gears of that turn of the film when things go from, we're on top to, oh fuck, they're all coming after us.
I just couldn't stand him on when
I know.
He was on screen.
It was the
just,
desired effect. Yeah, absolutely. For us, what a reprehensible
person. He reminds me of like a long lost Culkin brother, to be honest.
Yeah, the one they don't talk about.
Yeah,
the Portrait of Dorian Gray Culkin brother. Yeah,
exactly. The Missing Link's cousin.
But I really did honestly have a fun time with this. And like I said, I understand, like, you kept getting angry. But like I said, I've so worked through that since for the past 25, 30 years.
Oh,
I'm
like, apparently.
Already just kind of like, I know that this is, I know, like, I mean, the Dick Kennedy sang about it all the time. You know what I mean? It was just like,
Ollie North.
All I could do with this was just kind of laugh.
My dad's an anti Ollie North fan.
He's
a
fucking asshole. That guy. Sorry.
Yeah, he's a, okay. Yeah, no, you can say any fucking thing you want.
I'm sure these listeners are feeling the same thing too.
Yeah.
But like I said, for me, it was, I found this actually kind of breezy. I had a lot of fun with it. It was a little weird. Like seeing all these different actors play the characters I see on Narcos all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was kind of like, you should have gotten the guy who plays Pablo in Narcos. I'm just saying.
You're doing some recasting in your head.
Yeah. I'm like, that guy, wrong actor. Move him out of there.
It was breezy, and it's so many of these like historical films, I know for a lot of people it's like the equivalent of eating your vegetables. In a way, but I think when it's handled in this way, it's really is captivating.
I think they're going to make it. This is palatable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a very unpalatable time in American history, and the scenario is awful. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this makes it engaging and approachable. Yeah.
And I think as well, it's like the spoonful of sugar for your medicine.
Yeah.
It's very fast moving. Yeah. It's very funny. It's got really tightly written dialogue and good performances. And you get taught a lesson along with all that, which
absolutely.
Is basically, guess what? The CIA, they were kind of scum.
Doug Liman has a definite
I mean, in fact,
stamp.
Depending on who you listen to, which journalists, the CIA were in a lot deeper than this movie presented. Strongly suggested they not only knew about the coke that was being moved into the country, but were involved actively in it happening.
Yes. No. Of course they were.
Yeah.
Which
this movie, stops at a certain point and goes, well, no. I mean, they knew it was happening, but they weren't setting it up to happen. Yeah. It was just the thing. They were like, the movie... And presumably, like whatever else it's based on, like points the finger firmly at Tom Cruise's character for making that deal. That was his own thing. The CIA just turned a blind eye. Apparently, the truth of the story is a lot more dark.
No,
they
knew what they're doing.
This is written by Gary Spinelli. What else did he write? I'm curious.
Gary Spinelli? I don't actually know. But it is, like I said, tightly. And it's only credited to one writer, which, of course, is not always what the truth of things are in Hollywood. But he did some stuff I'm totally unfamiliar with.
Stash House.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff that hasn't come out yet, and then Stash House.
How do I know his name, though?
I don't know.
Do you have another
friend with the name Gary Spinelli?
No, I do not. Text him after the movie saying, hey, dude.
Spinning, what are you doing? You've
been up to something lately?
It's the Spinsters. Yeah. The Source Rex.
Gosh.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. That's all you had to say. It's like, oh, probably not going to watch it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dolph Lundgren made after 1994 or so. Probably not going to watch
it. That's hard pass. Yeah
hard pass. But I will say that for me at least, I thought American Made was definitely one I would recommend to most people. Frank, what's your final thoughts on this one?
Yeah, there are some sort of moments that are sort of like fragmented and disjointed. But, I mean, this isn't a linear story by any means. This guy's journey is just like, it's batshit crazy. And, most of what you see here, I'm assuming, is true. This is such a cautionary tale. If there ever was one.
Don't make a deal with the CIA.
I love it. I love that this is like, it's funny, it's a comedy, you're meant to laugh, and you can laugh, and it's okay to laugh. But nothing about this movie is glamorized or built up, really.
Yeah,
it's almost like his success is treated, look how tacky this is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is a cautionary tale.
And he's cool, but he's not cool, which I really like. You know, there's nothing about this him or his life that I envy, which I think was great. But you know, production wise, I love Doug Liman. I love how versatile of a director he is, but you can always like find something. Like the way the camera was moving and the way he just set up shots, I thought, oh, that's Doug Liman.
Yeah, he has a stamp, definitely.
Absolutely, and I think that Cruise is great here. I love when he does comedy because people forget how personable he is, how affable he is, you know. And I think this is a solid film all the way around. And I wasn't sure, maybe the first 20 minutes in.
It got a slow start.
Yeah.
For me, I was just
it kicked into high gear. You know, it's a great part of American history. Not a great part, but it's a part that's
it's an interesting
part that's worth exploring, and I think it's done very well here. I give it a solid 8 out of 10, you know, pieces of luggage filled with cash that I would love to have in my backyard.
I don't need as many as he has.
Not as many.
But I'd like, you know, a tenth.
Exactly.
Would be good. I'd be happy with that.
I'd be really happy.
However, I am still not willing, if the CIA is listening, to work with you on that. So let's just be clear, that was not a job offer. Laura, what about you?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out if I liked it or not.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm having a hard time with it, and I guess it's just because I have such a hard time with the. It just made me unsettled and depressed, really, about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. But as a film, I thought it was pretty good. It did had a slow start for me. I do enjoy Doug Liman's films as well a lot. So I was looking forward to that because there is always something to look at. It's very creatively shot. And so that I really like.
I love Liman's films too. Yeah. Ever since Swingers and Go, I love them. It's so great. Oh. And I'm the guy who actually will defend Jumper. I don't care what anybody says.
Really?
I think Jumper is fun.
Okay,
had fun with Jumper. It wasn't perfect in what I thought it was.
That's its own little podcast right there. on his birthday or on Jumper's birthday, whichever.
But, you know, I think all in all, if I really hate a movie, I'm not going to watch it again. Although I take that back, I probably would anyway. But I would watch this again. And I think I would probably enjoy it more if it were darker in the theater. Isn't that awful to say?
Yeah, they didn't darken the theater all the way.
That took away from me. I wanted to be more into it than I was. So besides the slow start, I really enjoyed Doug Liman. I enjoyed the performances of the actors.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the costume and the makeup was great.
Yeah.
And the humor was good. So I'm going to give it.
You're liking it more the more you talk about it.
There were so many little things in it that I liked, but it kept coming out of the story. And that's what bothers me about it. Mm-hmm. I kept coming out of the story.
You were watching a movie. You knew you were
watching. I got pulled out and I was thinking about other stuff.
Okay.
And I want to be in the story. I don't want that to happen. I want to be in all the way the whole time without being yanked out. And I kept getting yanked out. And I don't know. I can't put my finger on why. It was not because it's
so 7.5 out of 10.
7.5 out of 10 Ray-Ban Sandinistas.
Good one. Yeah, I actually, you know, I had, like I said, a very different reaction in the sense that I was all in. The time just flew by for me watching this movie.
Oh my God,
I was just like, wow, I'm all in. I'm a little disappointed. I'm just reading, as you guys were doing your final things, the real story, apparently, what this guy went through. There's a lot of differences from the movie, like a lot. So, like, okay, it's loosely based on the real story of this guy, but who was interesting in and of himself. Also sad, two people while in the making of this film died in an airplane crash.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
We have to mention that.
Very sad.
Yeah.
But,
and it was recent.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't.
It was a court case that was now settled, I believe.
I think so. But despite all that, I like I said, I genuinely had a good time with this. It's a movie I do recommend. It's not even like a movie like this most of the time goes for a really hard R, and this does not. This actually is kind of like teenager appropriate.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
No, which is surprise. I didn't even think about it till just now. I was like, wow, this really wasn't
rated?
a. I don't know offhand, actually, but
is it PG-13?
I think it's PG-13.
Could be,
but you know, it's Tom Cruise.
It feels like PG-13.
Yeah, if it had been Scorsese, there would have been a scene where they all go to a strip club, and it would have been rated R. And then Joe Pesci would have been like his best friend, go saying
and there
fuck
been a lot
every
of
other
blood.
Word. this podcast review has a higher rating, a harder rating than the movie does.
Oh, you know, my kids could all watch this movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I give it 8 out of 10 missing teeth.
Well,
hey, that bugged me because I was like, all of a sudden he had a tooth again.
I know,
I was like,
right?
Where's the missing scene where he gets and goes to the dentist?
Exactly.
I really need to see who played the dentist. Was it Steve Martin? I need to know.
Oh my gosh.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.